This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with T. Xiao Ik and Lim Soo Ann on this Christmas Eve day. As always, we've got two stories for you.
First up, a bed that's difficult to get onto and a bathroom door that doesn't quite shut. These are not things that you'd want to experience at a hotel. Mm. So why did artist Christopher Samuel design such a hotel room?
Mm. If you come across a review of a hotel room saying that the bed is difficult to get onto and has barely enough space to squeeze around, while the bathroom door doesn't shut at all and even gets in the way when you reach for the toilet roll dispenser, well, that might sound pretty typical of a very bad experience at a hotel.
Yep. Well, but if you stay at that hotel bedroom that's created by Christopher Samuel, you'd probably want to hold off on posting such a scathing review on any of your usual platforms that you do. And that's because the room, which is named the Welcome Inn, is actually designed to be as annoying as possible while remaining just about habitable.
Mm.
And so the bed is actually surrounded by a 3 feet high lip. And so you must scramble over that every time you want to get in and out of the bed. And the bathroom door doesn't close because it will hit the toilet. So that means there's no privacy at all when you want to use it.
Mm. And there's apparently a particularly ingenious arrangement for watching TV. Ingenious, I think, is a kind way of describing it. And other tricks that are likely to leave you exasperated, you know, if you want to use basic things like the bedside lights, the shelf or the table. Other things, you know, the shower gel dispenser is upside down. Which is another triumph of user unfriendliness. And it's hard not to chuckle at the fiendishness of Samuel's adaptations every time you spot another deliberately awkward feature.
Mm. But he's not doing this just as a joke, really, because by making life difficult for the visitors to the room, the artist who uses an electric wheelchair himself, he wants to give them a taste of the access problems that are faced by many persons with disabilities, especially if you are using a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And so Samuel thought that people would find it amusing at first, and he doesn't mind if the deliberately inaccessible room he designed raises a smile among its inhabitants.
Mm. He also says, why should I be upset if someone has not experienced what I've experienced? The whole point is for the conversation to be had and for people to think about it. So on the surface level, it's really quite playful and theatrical.
Mm.
But once you realise that it's real and that this is the reality for many people, it's really not that funny
anymore, right?
Yeah. You know, in his words, he says it's inconvenient, it's frustrating, it's humiliating at times.
Yeah, and you really won't know until you have to live that reality. So in designing the Welcome Inn, Samuel drew from his own experiences. So back in 2017, he was forced to live in an inaccessible hotel room as emergency accommodation for 3 months. So what had happened was he was pretty much made homeless by two local councils who were arguing over his care costs and access needs. And so the hotel room that he was put in was so tight and small that he couldn't move around freely. And to get in the door, he had to go into a little corner, shut the door behind him, then reverse out and navigate around the bed.
Mm, and I might have forgotten to mention this at the start, but this is a seaside B&B in the UK. It's a small town called Blackpool, if I remember correctly. And, you know, in that hotel room where he was stuck for 3 months, he couldn't even use the bed, which meant that he had to sleep in his wheelchair.
Oh, dear.
And I can't, like, for 3 months, that must have been quite a very difficult time for him. And he couldn't use the table that was in the room. He couldn't even use the toilet either, so he had to use a bucket instead.
Wow.
He couldn't wash because while there was a shower, the shower was inaccessible to him, to someone who had to use a wheelchair.
And you can see where it's humiliating. It strips away your dignity.
Exactly. So Samuel is not just giving non-disabled people an uncomfortable stay. He really does want his room to make a bigger point as well. His work is about the wider issue of austerity and housing crisis in the UK. And because of this, more and more people are being made homeless in that country. And those who are suffering the most are the most vulnerable. So the disabled, the elderly, these people are really being pushed out of mainstream society.
Mm. He's recounted the time when he was forced into hotel accommodation and he received so many insane suggestions. In his words, such as asking him to go into a care home or even wearing an incontinence pad when he was not actually incontinent.
Mm. It's very easy for people to make suggestions, right? Yeah. Samuel's hotel room was actually commissioned by Art B&B, which has opened as an alternative to the traditional B&Bs in town, and by Unlimited, which is a UK arts organisation that supports work by disabled artists. So he's one of 19 artists who have kitted out a room in this seaside B&B. And get this, he actually hasn't seen his room because he can't get to it. So that's why he said that the commission was perfect for him.
Yeah. And it, like we've been saying, it really highlights how often it's the little things that we don't, that for able-bodied people, we might not think about, but makes it, makes rooms, makes building inaccessible to people who have to use wheelchairs or people with disabilities. And so I did speak to Joyce Lee earlier today to get the perspective of someone who does face issues like what Samuel described. And so Joyce herself lives with spinal muscular atrophy, a rare disease, also known as SMA, and she uses an electric wheelchair to get around. So in this clip, she described the challenges she faces when trying to get around, especially in a new or unfamiliar space.
Usually, it's the accessibility, number one, because going from one place to another when you have a disability can be quite challenging, especially when you're using public transport, okay? And sometimes there are pavements that break off halfway, so it can be quite a challenge navigating through the place where you want to go to the destination. And I guess the second one is the doorway, because going into a place, you have to take note of the doorway, because number one, there might be steps or stairs or a partition of some kind. The third one is space, because sometimes the place can be like really very, very small and narrow, and you can't just like go into one direction. And then if you want to try and turn around, it's quite impossible. And the fourth one, I think, is the toilet. That is also one of the major challenges that we have to face, because not every place has a disabled-friendly toilet. And sometimes it might not be accessible, because sometimes they might design the toilet in a way where they claim it as disabled-friendly, but it's not, because sometimes there are steps. So it's not disabled-friendly at all. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the toilet can be really, really small. There's not much of a space where you can turn around or adjust yourself in that, you know, small space of that toilet.
And it's not just about the design of a particular place, but also the placement of furniture in a room, which is not something that I personally have thought about very much. And that could actually could make it very difficult for people in wheelchairs to move around. And in some cases, it could end up being dangerous for them.
They can be quite an obstacle if you're talking about furniture, because like most houses where you guys can just like put stuff wherever you want, but if we were to go inside with our wheelchairs, then they would pose quite an obstacle for us, because we have to like go around in our wheelchair, mm-hmm. which can be quite wide depending on the size of the user. And sometimes we might knock into the furniture or maybe like get caught in between mm-hmm. like the sofa and the table. Sometimes we might get hurt, because things like glass, if you like bump into it, it might get broken and we might cut ourselves. Or sometimes, like, I think chairs, sometimes like when I use my electric wheelchair, the controller gets caught in the chair. I mean, because some chairs, they have backs that have like holes or something, and sometimes I might knock into it and then it gets caught, and then the wheelchair like automatically like moves around by itself.
And so Joyce also reminds us that it's not always easy for them to move around in an unfamiliar space.
Well, sometimes can be very unpredictable when you're traveling to a new place. You have to expect the unexpected. So we try to find a solution, like maybe move things around a bit, or maybe try to find a way to overcome it. It's quite hard, actually.
So there are changes that are happening in Malaysia, even if it is slow. And Joyce shared some of the changes that she has seen here in our country.
There are changes, surely, but slowly. Not as fast as I would like it to be. Mm-hmm. But I do see that schools have become more inclusive, and that they do offer better facilities and it's more accessible in schools and universities, colleges. You can see more disabled people going into higher education because of the facilities offered. And more disabled-friendly shopping malls, I can say, especially the new ones. It's accessible through public transport like LRT and MRT. Yeah.
Having said that, though, awareness in Malaysia still remains low. And Joy said that she still encounters people who hold on to myths and misconceptions about people with disabilities.
There's still a huge lack of awareness, you know, compared to other countries like Singapore, Taiwan, and Japan. I mean, because in these countries, the government supports the disabled groups. I mean, like in financial-wise, they also do establish like really good foundations for the disabled. Disability is still pretty much of a stigma in Malaysia, I think, especially in rural areas. And there's still a lack of acceptance in society. There's also still a lot of myths and misconceptions about disabilities, like still a, like, you know, a one-fit-all type of perception towards disabilities. Like people, they don't really see them as high-functioning individuals. They just kind of have this really fixed mindset about disabled people, viewing them as like intellectually incapable, somewhere between the lines. So you can see that the the employability rate for disabled people is still pretty low in Malaysia, and there is still a lack of understanding. I think it's mostly due to the lack of education.
And so going back to the original story that sparked off this idea, I also asked Joyce what she thought about Christopher Samuel's design of the Welcome Inn.
I think it was a very creative approach to raise awareness about disabled people, challenges when they go out traveling. I think it allows the guests to experience the common frustrations of disabled people when it comes to inconvenience. It also emphasizes on the lack of financial support, because he did say that there were budget cuts from the councils, the local councils, and kind of affects a lot when it comes to medical care and support. And most people lack the empathy to try and understand from the view or the perspective of a disabled person. And most of the people that I've talked to about this, they usually suggest like going into a care home, like exactly what the guy said. And they always tell you to like use more medical equipment, but they forgot that medical equipment also needs a lot of money to buy. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a very good approach from the way that he raised the awareness through art. Yeah.
So that was Joyce Lee, and she lives with spinal muscular atrophy, which is a rare disease in Malaysia.
Yeah. So we have a comment on WhatsApp. He says he understands the concept and objective of designing a hotel room like that, but he's curious, who would pay for a stay there?
Well, in the BBC article when this was published, a creative director of the Art B&B, Michael Trainer, did say that you probably wouldn't spend more than a night in it in reality. Mm-hmm. And I think what Rusian says, right, it's the concept of it, it's getting the message out there. And I think like what Samuel said as well, if you don't know about it, so you won't talk about it. But now that you've seen pictures of it, or if you've read about it, then it can generate more conversation about the difficulties that people with wheelchairs have when staying in places like hotel rooms.
Mm. And I suppose it is equal parts artwork and an actual hotel room, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, the people who would stay would already know kind of what they're signing up for.
I mean, if you look at pictures of their other rooms, they are very arty as well. They've got certain designs and themes that I think reflect also some local community what's the culture and heritage of the local community there. But it also points to the fact that art is so much more than just
a canvas.
That's right. It is also the experience. honestly, I don't think I would pay money for it, but just having, knowing that something, that there is something like that, that can get you thinking about what people of different abilities and needs have to go through, that is already starting a conversation.
I'd love to see something like this done in perhaps a public place, you know, and where people are sort of forced to navigate it. You know, yeah, people wouldn't pay for it, but I think if it was, you know, in the form of public art, I think it would be interesting.
Yeah. We also have Maggie on WhatsApp who would like to share some advice for Malaysians not to, you know, do things like parking your motorcycles or blocking 5-foot ways that are in front of shop lots. She has seen three blind people trying to locate their office lot by sort of having to you know, run their hands along the doors and the walls. Probably counting the shop lots to reach their destination, and such uncivic mindedness can hinder and even sometimes hurt those with visual problems. And for those with mobility problems, this also poses a great challenge. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and from my own experience, like, my grandma has issues walking. Like, she walks quite slowly. Sure. She needs to use a cane sometimes, and it, all these things that for us, it's fine, we can walk around it so easily, but then when you are put next to a person who has mobility issues, then you realise how a lot of this actually hinders what could be a very easy path, but instead makes it 10 times more difficult.
And I have to admit, Sue-Ann, like you said earlier as well, while I do think of public space accessibility for people in wheelchairs, for instance, I don't think I've given enough thought about how they might manoeuvre, say, a hotel room. Something, you know, even something as simple as going into the bathroom. A lot of hotel rooms, you know, with a bathtub and a sink, even a person who's walking would find it difficult to sort of properly walk in. What more if someone were using a wheelchair?
Yeah. Actually, if you think about the trend of capsule hotels and things like that, those are really not meant to be inclusive. I understand they are they're for budget travelers, but really there's a huge demographic that they're missing out on, right?
So if you have any more thoughts on this, you know, if you think it's a cool idea to raise awareness, or if you have thoughts on why we should be more inclusive with our spaces, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. We do need to take a quick break, but we will be back shortly. We'll leave you with Got to Get You Into My Life by The Beatles.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. We'll be right back.